am so excited to be here. I am so excited that you're here, whether you're in the sanctuary, whether you're online. I am so excited that you're here. And the thing I am most excited about is I am so excited to praise Jesus today. So what we're going to do is we're going to praise Jesus. You guys bring your praise and shoes? You bring your praise and hands? All right. So the Bible tells us that we can praise Jesus every single moment of every single day. And when we praise Jesus, we find freedom and it makes us want to shout and dance. Now, I know some people dance like this. I know someone who used to dance like this. But that's okay. There's no right or wrong way to praise Jesus. So I want you to stand up and I want you to get ready to praise Jesus with me, okay? Okay? All right. Can we get louder? Come on, everybody. Are you ready to sing? You're not singing.
Jesus is the way. He's my everything.
Oh, you guys are too quiet. You need coffee.
Every single moment of every single day. There's something deep within me. I just gotta say.
Come on, let's praise Jesus.
Gonna praise you, Lord, every day of my life.
Shout! Oh, come on, adults. You're not too big to worship Jesus. Come on, kids. You're not too little to worship Jesus.
Come on, everybody. Are you ready to sing?
Boy, we got to get you guys some coffee.
Jesus is the way.
He's my everything. Here we go.
Every single moment of every single day. Something deep within me, I just gotta say, yes, I'm gonna praise you on every day of my life.
What does he give us when we praise him? Go ahead and cut it. Okay. Woo! I don't know about you guys. I needed that praise break real big. Whew. I might need some cardio too, but that's okay. So can I share yesterday with y'all? Is that okay? I kind of had a really terrible yesterday. Let me tell you about it. So yesterday, please be nice. Yesterday, I woke up, and I honestly was in a pretty good mood. I was really happy. I was really excited. It was a good day, and I went downstairs, and I started playing with all my toys, and then my little brother woke up. Now, I love my little brother. He's so precious. He brings so much to our family, but he really likes to play with my toys, and not just any of my toys. He likes to play with the ones that I'm playing with. So I was playing with something, and he took it right out of my hands. And so I picked up something else to play with, and he took that out of my hands. And everything that I went to play with, he took out of my hands. And by this time, I wasn't feeling so perky anymore. Everyone rub your hands together like this. That's kind of what my insides were feeling like. They were feeling weird. And when you rub your hands together for a long time and you kind of push hard on them, it kind of feels like things start heating up. I was getting frustrated and grumpy and just And I don't like feeling like that. I know I love my brother, but go play with your own toys, please. Well, then I had to go to day camp. And I like day camp. It gives me stuff to do. But it's not perfect. See, there's a couple kids there. They don't live like us. They don't think like us. And they don't understand us. They don't like my skirts. They make fun of my skirts, and they really make fun of my long hair. And there's this particular kid. Every time I see him, my stomach starts to hurt because I know he's the one who's going to really lead all the kids to make fun of me. And the last day he was there, he told me I needed to cut my hair. But today, he didn't just tell me I needed to cut my hair. Don't you do it. He said he was going to cut it for me. Well, that kind of felt like this. That made me feel not grumpy and not frustrated. That made me feel mad. And even a little bit scared, too, because I don't want someone to cut my hair. I don't want people to make fun of me like that. Well, so I survived. I told the teacher. The teacher was very nice and told me everything was going to be okay. But then I went home. Now, Mom and Dad were having a grown-up conversation. They weren't talking to me. But Mom was saying how one of her really special friends was really sick and in the hospital. And she was really upset. She was crying because she was afraid that this really good friend was going to die. And with everything going around right now, that's not a little scary. That's a great big scary. I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to get sick. I don't want my family to get sick. And I sure don't want me. Or my brother. Or anyone that I love to die. That's a big scary. It just makes me really feel out of control and like I don't know what's going on. Hey, what you got there? Is that for me? I love presents. Thank you. Blue, my favorite color. From Jesus. Jesus gave me a present? All right. I don't have to wait for Christmas if it's for him, right? All right. Let me see. It's a Bible verse. It says, peace, John 14:27. Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Wow, that's a really awesome gift. So every time my heart feels troubled, every time I start to feel afraid, Jesus gives me peace, and it's not a one-time thing. He leaves it with me. So if I'm frustrated and grumpy at my brother, I can stop and say, hey, Jesus, can you take these feelings away and give me your peace? If I'm at day camp and that mean old boy is there, instead of being mad and a little bit scared, I can say, Jesus, please take these feelings away and give me your peace. I know the grown-ups in my life are going to take care of me. And if I'm feeling completely out of control because I don't understand and I don't like what's going on right now and everyone's upset and scared, I can stop and say, Jesus, please take these feelings away and let me feel your peace. Right? Okay, well, there's another verse in here. It's John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be able to abide with you forever. Well, in my house, we're supposed to make our beds every day because it makes the comforter look nice. and we can't jump on the beds or sit on the beds or eat on the beds because it'll mess up the comforter. No offense, Jesus, but that kind of makes you sound boring and useless. But I've figured it out. You know what I like instead of comforters? Let me zip that up. I love blankets. They are the best. I love snuggling with them when I'm cold. I love curling up with them to read books. If I'm tired, they feel restful. If I'm just stressed out and frustrated and I need a minute to unwind, if I curl up with the blanket, I feel secure. And you know what? That's what comforter means. Not the comforter on my bed. Jesus brings me comfort. And I can wrap up in his comfort whenever I want. Oh, I needed that. So, how many of you guys like blankets? Anyone like blankets in here? All right. Anyone have a super special blanket? There's a couple blankets at our house that we actually fight over because they're our favorites. Does anyone have maybe a blanket that if it's not already your super special blanket, you can make it one? Anybody? All right. So, when me and Brandon, whenever we feel overwhelmed or sad or scared or like things are going out of control, this is Brandon's, this is his special one. We wrap up, we as a family or even if it's just us or together, we'll wrap up in our blankets and we'll pray. And when we start reminding Jesus of his promises and thanking him for the wonderful things that he is and he's done for us, you know what begins to happen? He begins to fill us and surround us with his peace and comfort. So maybe when you guys go home, maybe if you need a grown-up to help you, you can take that special blanket. And whenever you feel grumpy at your brother or sister, or maybe mad or a little bit scared or even great big scared, instead of giving into those feelings and all of a sudden feeling so overwhelmed and out of control, you can wrap up in that blanket and it can remind you that Jesus is a comforter, a peace giver, and you can take a moment to pray and he'll fill you with that peace. Now, sometimes things happen and maybe you're at day camp or you're at the grocery store and you're not where you can grab your blanket. You left it at home. Does that mean you're just out of luck? No, it doesn't. I want to try an experiment. Does everyone in here have a name? There's no one who doesn't have a name, right? So I'm going to count to the count of three. And on three, I want you to tell me your name. And I'll tell you my name too, okay? Just we'll introduce ourselves. One, two, three. Ooh, there's some nice names in there. Now, and I want everybody to do this. I'm going to count to the count of three, and we're going to say the name Jesus out loud all together. You ready? As loud as you can. One, two, three.
Jesus!
Ooh. Ooh, did you feel that? Did you feel the air change? Let's try that again. I'm a scientist by heart, so we like to confirm our results. So say your name on the count of three. Everybody. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Now we're going to say Jesus all together on the count of three as loud as we can. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Wow. When you just say the name Jesus, even if you have to just say it in your mind or if you can say it out loud, when you call on the name of Jesus, you get heaven's attention and Jesus is ready to move on your behalf, to listen to what you have to say, to give you what you need. So if you're in the grocery store, that's my stress place, or if you're where you don't have your blanket and you begin to feel those not peaceful feelings, You can say the name. Oh, come on. You can say the name. And he's ready to be there with you. So I want everyone to stand up. We're going to call on the name of Jesus. Everybody. Everybody to stand up. And I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands. And we're going to call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for every adult and child that's here. I thank you for your presence that's here. Lord, I pray that you would be with us in a special way, that you would fill up our peace and surround us with your comfort today, every child, every grown up. And I pray, Jesus, that when we get through the rest of the service today, and we go out those doors and we finish our day and go into tomorrow, that your divine, wonderful peace that passes all understanding would follow us, not just today, but until we're able to be together again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord, church.
Lord.
Jesus is our hope. This is a time that we can celebrate Him. Let's just give Him all the worship that He deserves. Because He is our hope, He is our Savior. Hallelujah. He's so good.
So this is how it was, a silent like night in your heart. When heaven sent the
morning, Calvary Gospel Church. We had our children's program this morning. Thank you so very much to our Sunday school team. And, we're excited. Beautiful, beautiful snow outside. I tell you, around our yard, we have a lot of pine trees, and all those pine trees are just fill up with the snow and the birds, and it looks so beautiful. That was a beautiful song that we started off with, and thank you very much to our worship team. So if you're a guest of ours, it is so great to have you here, whether you're joining us in person or online. And if you are joining here in person, we have connection cards out in the kiosk. We'd love to be able to take and connect with you. And if you're joining online, there's a connection point there online. You can just follow the prompts. If you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church, and as far as giving options, of course, if you're worshiping today and you'd like to drop it in person, there's a box out there in the vestibule. Everything else we've been doing online, and you can see that on the screen behind. But we're entering into the Christmas season, and this Christmas has been probably will be a bit more challenging for us than Christmas is past. But nevertheless, yesterday, Sister Lois Grant has come up with this Christmas challenge to each and every one of us to take, and wants to challenge us to make homemade Christmas cards or door hangers and such, and or an ornament or even a baked good, and drop them off to someone in the church that you feel maybe you and your family's been praying for, and you feel might could be use a little bit of a pick me up. Yesterday in the early afternoon, our doorbell rang, and we got a visit from a secret Santa that looked a lot like Mr. Luther George, but at least I know it was Sister George in the vehicle driving him around. But so we had a special visit yesterday, and it just handed out some candy canes, and it was just a great time. And so something like that. If you're going to do some caroling, just remember, kind of limit your groups to 10 people or less. If you have any questions, you can contact Sister Lois Grant. She's here at the church, extension 3014, if you want to call her during the day. So coming up with our Christmas service schedule, Wednesday on December 23rd, we will have no service because we'll be having a Christmas Eve service on Wednesday the 24th. That Christmas Eve service will start at 5, will run for about 1 hour, and we will be finishing up our Christmas series that will be starting this coming Wednesday evening. So we're excited about that. Also, there'll be no service on December 31st, although Voces Unitas is going to be having their year-end service. If you'd like to join a live service, you're welcome to do that. But we're just encouraging people to get together with family, get together with friends. We're going to have some folks over at our house, and we're not looking to have a huge group, but just make those connections that we've signed, kind of have ended up over the last few months, the last 9 months, I guess. A lot of our connections have been kind of broken. I don't want to say they're lost, but just broken. And this will give us a time to kind of reconnect before the or at the end of the year and such. Also, we have our Christmas for Christ. We're in our season of raising funds for Christmas for Christ, and we'll be taking up our final offering next week. But if you have your family has decided you want to take and get involved in that, feel free. All of those Christmas for Christ funds, 40% of those funds stay right here in our district. And our Stoughton Church that recently became independent, or as far as they were part of Calvary, we helped them start the church there, but now they're autonomous, they're on their own, and they're eligible for Christmas for Christ funds. And through the North American Missions, whatever you give, 40% of that money stays here in the district, as I said, and very good chance that it will go towards helping Brother and Sister Thomas out there in Stoughton as they've applied for North American funds. So with that, let's go ahead and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the presence that we feel here in this place today. We ask you, Lord, that we have many that are sick in body this morning. We pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our brothers and sisters, their families, Lord, and their sicknesses. Lord, just begin a healing process, Lord. Touch each and every family, Lord, that is struggling this morning. We ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon Pastor Seidel. Touch him as he brings forth the word of the Lord this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And one more thing before our worship team leads us in the song. We were supposed to start a remodel project here at church. on Friday night, and it's somewhat extensive. It's in the fellowship hall. If you're a tradesman, you're involved in the plumbing trades or an electrician, the electrical trades, and you would like to take and help us with that, I would certainly appreciate the help. So you can contact Brother Jerry Simmons. We're going to make another shot at this next Friday night and into Saturday. So just tag in with Brother Simmons this morning or during this week. So God bless you all. Thank you.
Just wanna be wanna be with you.
King of glory, fill this place. King of glory, come and fill our homes, Lord. King of glory, fill this place. Won't you come and fill this place, King of my peace? I need you to fill this place, King of my joy. Come and fill this place, King of glory, King.
Of course. Let's let the Holy Ghost move here for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The presence of the Lord can heal us. The presence of the Lord can fill us. The presence of the Lord can teach us. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says it's by His Holy Spirit that we are made one body. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, and let one interpret. There's someone here who has an interpretation. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. His presence is here right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We've just experienced the gift of tongues, and we did not experience the gift of interpretation. That doesn't mean that the gifts are inappropriate or inaccurate. It only means that we didn't respond completely the way that God would have liked us to. But that's all right. We're still together in the house of God. We're still in the presence of God. And we will still hear from the word of the Lord, and it may be that the Lord will visit us again in that way, and we will hear that message. So praise God. Unfortunately for the Almighty God, He's dealing with human beings, and sometimes we aren't just perfect the way we do things. So doesn't take anything away from what we're experiencing, and I'm glad to be in the house of God. I'm glad that I know a living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at Mark chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 33, and we're going to read through verse 35. Just had a conversation with, I think it was Brother Caskey. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Pastor Jerry Simmons. About the whole practice of preaching in a Pentecostal church. You always have the desire to come up with something earth-shattering or mind-blowing or, you know, ooh, so everyone will say, wow. Yeah, you can say that if you want, but we're going to read some passages and talk about some things that probably most of us have heard before, but it's still the word of the Lord, right? Amen. Mark 9, verse 33, then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? Wouldn't you like to have been one of those people that Jesus asked that question? But they kept silent. For on the road they disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, for your presence in this place. I thank you for your word, O God, and for your patience and your consistency among us that we can continue to walk with you even when you point out our weaknesses and our shortcomings. We pray, oh God, for your blessing on this time together for those of us here in this place and those of us online. And I pray for your anointing that I may be able to minister effectively in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. And if you're at home, sit up straight and pay attention. Amen. And a place for the servant. That's what I would like to speak about this morning. This principle of servanthood was mentioned several times in each of the Gospels. Every one of the four has some mention of this principle in the mouth of Jesus. And it wasn't always recorded as taking place in the same place or the same time. So evidently it was something that Jesus repeated for his disciples to hear. In this case, it's in Capernaum. It's not at the Last Supper where it came up. In other accounts, it takes place at the Last Supper. So this means it was important enough to Jesus that he stressed it. He repeated it. He wanted his disciples to get this. And apparently, it took them a little while to wrap their heads around it. If you want to be first, be last. If you want to be great, be a servant. Now, we've heard this. We know this principle. We're familiar with it. And we also are aware that it's counterintuitive to our culture and to the Western frame of mind, and probably the human frame of mind. And even though we are familiar with this principle, and even though we understand what the point that Jesus was trying to make, we are still often driven by other motives than that of a servant's heart. Is anybody willing to admit that with me? Amen. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around it sometimes, or maybe we forget, or maybe we allow the flesh to take control. Whatever the case, I dare say I do not always act out of a servant's heart. We could say this even in a different way. I looked at the different accounts in the Gospels, and I've always thought of this as, if you want to be great, be a servant. And I think there is some of that there, but I think in rereading these accounts in the Gospels, part of what Jesus was saying, if it wasn't the main point, was this. His point to the disciples, especially to the 12, I think, was this. When you become great, if you become great, as a leader, you must have a servant's heart. He was preparing them for the time when they would be great in the kingdom of God, when they would be the foundation of the church. And he was saying, don't ever let it go to your head. Don't ever forget that you must be a servant when you reach this place of greatness. Amen. A follower of Jesus who obtains authority or position or influence must be a servant at heart. If I can put it in modern terms, it's part of the job description that the Lord gives to us. It's under the heading that says responsibilities. Be a servant. Jesus is telling them, when you become leaders, be servants. Look at Jeremiah 45. We're going to start at verse 1. This story has had my attention for a long time. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to Baruch, son of Neriah, while he was writing down in a scroll the words that Jeremiah spoke to him. Right, he's with the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is speaking to him. This happened in the fourth year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was ruling over Judah. This is the word that Jeremiah spoke. The Lord God of Israel has a message for you, Baruch. Just put yourself in Baruch's place. The prophet's speaking to you now. You have said, I feel so hopeless, for the Lord has added sorrow to my suffering. Anybody feel that way? I'm worn out from groaning. I can't find any rest. The Lord told Jeremiah, tell Baruch, the Lord says, I'm about to tear down what I have built and to uproot what I have planted. What is God saying? God's saying, I know you have issues, but there's something bigger going on. There's something greater happening here. I'm doing something. I'm about to tear down what I have built and to uproot what I have planted. I will do this throughout the whole earth. Are you looking for great things for yourself? Do not look for such things, for I, the Lord, affirm that I am about to bring disaster on all humanity. But I will allow you to escape with your life wherever you go. I mean, it's one thing to come into church and to sit in the congregation or to watch online and hear the preacher speak, and the Spirit of the Lord takes the word and pierces your heart, and you realize, oh, God's talking to me. Has anyone ever sat in the pastor's office? And I'm not talking about when you're going in to give him good news. The prophet is speaking directly to Baruch, and he's telling him, God told me to tell you personally. There's a lot of weight in these words. I think it was a monstrous wake-up call. Baruch had been through a lot with Jeremiah. First mention of Baruch is in Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah got a hold of him. I don't know what the relationship was before this, but he called upon him to be a witness. What Jeremiah did was he bought some property from a relative in at the word of God. God told him to do it. And he had Baruch as a witness. He got the title. He put it in a jar and he buried it. And God said, do this because this is a witness. This is a testimony that I am going to return my people to this land. So the judgment hadn't taken place yet. Jeremiah was telling the people of Israel and the leaders of Israel that there's judgment coming and all of the nation's going to be carried away to Babylon. But the time will come when the people of Israel will be brought back to this land. So as a testimony to this, Jeremiah is buying property to prove that God has not given up. Praise God. He's showing Israel that he meant to restore them one day. Verse 15 of chapter 32, it says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Amen. So when there's judgment, God sends his people a promise. In chapter 36, Baruch had a different task. He was called by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was under house arrest, basically. He couldn't go anywhere. So he called Baruch and he said, Baruch, I've written down this prophecy. Now you take it. You go to the temple, you go to the house of God, and you read it so everyone can hear it. And again, it wasn't good news. It was judgment. Baruch takes Jeremiah's words, goes out into public space. It's like if you were asked to go on Fox and CNN and MSNBC and tell America that God is bringing judgment. You're going to see the White House in rubble. State governments will fall. China's going to rule us all. I'm sure you would want to get rid of your Twitter account in a hurry if you did that. You've heard the story, the saying, don't shoot the messenger. But that's what he was asked to do. This is where that all happened. This is all of those venues for Israel at this time. And not only is he speaking to the people, but in fact, he's speaking to the rulers, the government, the leaders of Israel. So then when he's done there on the public forum, he gets a call from a religious officer. Verse 10 of chapter 36. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court. or at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. So you've gone on CNN, you've gone on Fox, you've gone on MSNBC, and you've made this statement of judgment, and the whole world hates you now, but now the head of Health and Human Services, or the Department of Defense, or the Department of Education, they want you to come and talk to you about this. You're not done in the public square. Now you're being called to Capitol Hill. And you're sitting in the office of a member of the cabinet, someone who sits and talks with the president. This is important stuff. I would think Baruch's whole perspective has changed by now. What? This is a new suit. I need a new suit. I'm going to Capitol Hill. This is a government official. Well, Gemariah, his son Micaiah, heard what was said, and he then went to the king's house and repeated it for the king to hear. And when the princes heard this, they called for Baruch. So now it's just not one member of the cabinet. Now we're talking about the highest level of government, and they're getting together and they're asking you to come before the head of the Senate, the head of Congress. They're gathered together, the cabinet, all of the cabinet, and they want to hear what you have to say. And he reached the scroll to them. Now, the story of Baruch may not, at first glance, be real impressive. And we may not register with us just what it was happening to him. His whole life was changing merely because of his association with the prophet. And now he's meeting with heads of government, basically. He's in a whole different world. I'm reminded of the time when I worked at the Christian school. I was had a local license with the United Pentecostal Church, and my pastor, Bishop Grant, was the district superintendent at the time. And he got a call, and they asked him to come down to the Capitol and to open a session of the assembly, of the state assembly, in prayer. Well, I never did ask him why, but he was not interested in going down there. I don't know if it was because he was busy or because he knew what it was like, but he called me in his office and he said, I need you to do something for me. Next week, Wednesday, whatever day it was, I've been asked to come down and open a session of the assembly with prayer, but I'm not going to do that. I want you to go down there for me. Cool. Sure, I'll do that. So I took his place. I don't really, to this day, don't know. I'm not sure why he chose not to go, but I may have found out why. I was really excited, and I was sure this was my debut as prophet to the state of Wisconsin. Confident that it was going to happen now, that this was my opening. And I was really excited. I went down there the day that I was supposed to open it up, and they told me what office to go to, and I talked to that person, and they sent me up to the assembly room, and there was the speaker pro tempore, or the speaker tem, they call him, pro tem sometimes. He's actually the number two guy in the state assembly after the speaker of the assembly. You know, and I'm John Seidel. I'm here to open in prayer today. And the response I got was not what I expected. This representative was the representative from the Madison area. I think specifically from including the campus area. And he had been in the local news a lot, and I recognized his name. And so I knew he was a political player, but he looked at me like he had just bit into a lemon or something. Like, oh, these guys. Like, yeah, hi. And I thought, uh-oh. And then he reached out and shook my hand. And when I took his hand, it was like holding on to a cold fish. He did this real soft hand thing, and I just wanted to squeeze it, you know. Don't you know who I am? So I shook his fish grip handshake, and I was, by that time I'm completely taken aback, because this guy doesn't like me, and he doesn't know me, but he doesn't like me. He doesn't like the fact that I'm here, and there's a few things I don't like about him too. So when my chance came, he led me into the assembly room where they're all meeting there, and everybody's milling around, and this speaker hits the gavel a few times, and everybody meanders over to their place, and they're all sitting down, and I'm announced. And I don't remember if they got my name right or not, but I was pumped. So I turned to the assembly of the state of Wisconsin, prepared to blow them away with my message and prayer, and lost my place in the Bible passage I was going to read. So I stumbled around and kind of paraphrased the book of Esther and told them that they were called to serve God at such a time as this, and prayed my prayer with all the power that I could muster. And I looked up to see my effect, and they were all turning pages, and the speaker hit the gavel, and that was it, and they were off on the next bill, and it was as if I was never there. I guess the speaker pro tem took me by the arm, led me out of the assembly chamber, gave me his fist grip handshake again, and thanked me for being there, and I was on my way. I think Baruch thought things were going to go a little differently than they did for him when he started meeting with the important officials and talking to princes. And what they did when they read his prophecy, they said, "Hey, Baruch, you better go find Jeremiah and hide. Find a rock somewhere. Go somewhere where nobody can find you, and stay away from anybody that has anything to do with the king." And that's what happened. I think there was a whole different thing than what Baruch expected. Shook his hand, sent him on his way. And then they took that prophecy of Jeremiah and they brought it into the king. And while the scribe was reading it to the king reached out and took those leaves of the prophecy that it was written on, and he threw them into the fire. That's how much weight government gives to the word of God sometimes. And that's what Baruch and Jeremiah's prophecy, that's what the king thought of it. And now Baruch is hiding out with Jeremiah. Not the end that he expected. But Jeremiah had a response for that in chapter 36. Verse 32, it says, "Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and they were added besides unto them many like words." Thanks a lot, Jeremiah. Now I have to take this prophecy that the king didn't like so much that he burned it in the fire, and I have to go back up there with it? Sometime later, Jeremiah himself went up into the public place. In verse 43, it says, "He came to pass, and when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshea, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, going out into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So now Baruch, what this means is that the forces opposed to the word of God are blaming Baruch for the perceived rebellion against the king. No longer is he just the scribe for the prophet. No longer is he just the messenger for the prophet. Now he's the instigator for the prophet. He's the source of the rebellion. So they came and took Jeremiah and Baruch captive and carried them away to Egypt. What's my point? Yeah, what is it? Baruch is a servant, basically. He's doing a service for Jeremiah. I think that Baruch came from a family of importance. I believe that he had entree, he had opportunity, he had access to people of influence and people of power. And I believe that it was a reasonable belief for him at some point in his life that he might end up in one of those positions of influence. And because evidently they knew who he was when he showed up with the scroll. They knew who he was when he read it to them, and they identified him with his family. I believe he came from a place of position. But all of this has changed now. Everything he may have dreamed for, maybe everything he hoped for at some time, because of his association with the Word of God and the man of God. Now he's being carried away captive. And I believe it's at this point when Jeremiah comes to Baruch with a word from the Lord in this last chapter of Jeremiah. He's broken. But listen, God talked to the prophet on Baruch's behalf. God spoke to Jeremiah directly related to Baruch's situation. God heard Baruch's lament, his complaint, his fear, his concern, and he sent to him the prophet with a word from God. This is a message for us. God has, the Bible says, exceeding great and precious promises. Our world has been turned upside down. Now, we haven't been carried away captive or anything, but we're more on display than ever before. I heard about a church in our district, in our state, that because they had a number of people in their church that had succumbed to the coronavirus, that the news started reporting that they were spreaders, that it's all taking place at this church. And they started determining who brought it in and where they brought it from and why it was all because of religious activities. But God has a word for us. Life has changed. It's not what we thought it was going to be. But God is doing something bigger. God is doing something bigger. And even if the whole world gets turned upside down, even if the world order that we're so used to gets totally convoluted, he still has a place for us in eternity. Praise God. If you're not a child of God today and you're here or you're online and you're wondering why it is these church people just keep doing what they're doing, it's because we believe in a living God. We believe in a Savior. We believe in one who supersedes time and place and even government. He's greater than any government. My God is able. And whatever his plan is for this world, he has a plan for me. He's taking care of us. John 10:7 says, Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. But you have to be one of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door, Jesus says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. He's always going to provide for his children. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came to the earth in the most humble of circumstances. God, the Bible says, will call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He made himself, he took upon himself, the scripture says, the form of a servant so that we could have abundant life. That doesn't mean necessarily wealth and riches and everything we want, but it means a life, an inner life, a life that transcends and supersedes this physical existence around us. Whoever you are, if you're not a child of God, you have that opportunity during this worst of times. You have that opportunity to know Jesus, to give him your heart, to take on his name. Jesus said it like this: you must be born of the water and the Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the apostles told us what that meant when they said, you can be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Have them all washed away, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Be born of the water and the Spirit. It's a new life. And it's not dependent on what happens in government. It's not dependent on what CNN says or Fox News says or MSNBC. It's only dependent on your relationship with the living, eternal God. He wants to give us life and life more abundantly, whoever you are, wherever you are. This has messed up our lives. But Jesus is still the good shepherd. Come to him, he said, with a servant's heart. Serve him with a servant's heart. Minister to each other with a servant's heart. One of the places that Jesus taught this lesson was in John 13, when he washed the disciples' feet. In the next chapter, he said, in context of the whole same scenario, the same night, the night he washed their feet, the night he broke the bread, the night they drank the cup, that night he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry. In my Father's house, there's a place for you. I'm going before you to prepare a place. It'll be there. I want to close with this. In Luke 22, verses 24 through 30. And there was also a strife among them. Same kind of scenario that we started with. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles, presidents of the republics, exercise lordship over them. The senators and congressmen and representatives. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. They want us to believe they're our benefactors. Is that true? But you shall not be so. He's talking to the apostles now, to the disciples. That's not your call. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Who's greater, the person sitting down to have dinner or the person who's serving them? But I am among you as he that serveth. Jesus said, I have made myself as a servant. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temple. You have been through some, we've been through some things, Jesus said. And you're still here. Hey, we've been through some things. And here we are in church on Sunday morning. That means something to God. That means something to the Holy Ghost. That's why he visits us. Praise God. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you, and you, and you, and you, and you, a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's talking to the apostles here. I know, I understand that. But he's talking to the people of God. We get to, the Bible says that we get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're not serving at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We get to sit down at the table. Praise God. Let's stand. If you're feeling challenged, if you feel like you've spent all this energy and have nothing to show for it, you're feeling maybe lost. You're struggling to serve God, struggling to do what's right. That's where Baruch was. Baruch had a lot of things going for him when he began to serve God under Jeremiah's direction. It turned his whole life around. But God gave him a word directly from the mouth of the prophet and said, don't worry, I have prepared a place for you. I'm not done with you, but I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Praise God. God has a word for every child of God and for everyone who would come to him. He's preparing a place for us. His hand is upon us in this life. He never leaves us and never forsakes us. But when it's all over, we get to sit at the table. We get to sit at the table. We get to sit with the God of eternity, the Lamb of God, and dwell with him forever. We're not just going to be on the fringes. We're not just going to be on the other side of the wall wondering what's going on inside. We're not going to be looking inside the window. We're going to be at the feast, sitting with the King. Praise God. Praise God. You want to dine with the King? There's a place for the servant if you will give your heart to him. Why don't you come and pray? As you feel comfortable, if you feel the need, if you feel the pull in your heart, find a place, keep your distance, pray, seek God's face, and he will meet with you.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Heart and lead me in your love to go.
heaven before. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes.
The Lord again, church. Thank you, Brother Seidel, for bringing a very powerful word of the Lord to us this morning. And such a sweet presence of His Spirit here. I want to thank all of you, each and every one of you, for coming out today. For those that watched online, we had folks all over North America, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Virginia, New York, Missouri, and Kansas. And we had folks from the Netherlands, from England, Mexico, Egypt, Venezuela. How many of you ever heard of Liechtenstein? Little tiny postage stamp country in Europe, and also the Bahamas. So if you joined us from any of those countries this morning, Lord. It's just an honor to have you joining with us. We will be entering into our official Christmas. I want to thank Sister Brittany Waters for doing all of the decor. The building, it looks very beautiful, very Christmassy. And we're going to be doing a little different of a Christmas series this year. Our Christmas message series is going to actually lead into after Christmas and then into the first of next year. So we're going to start off with a series, Ordinary Average Guy. How many of you have ever just felt like you're just ordinary and average? Then we're going to follow that up early January with, even though you may be ordinary and average, you have much more than what you think you have. And then we're going to talk a bit about connections and relationships as we go through the month of January. So I'm excited about what we have coming up. Continue to pray one for another. We have many people that are still struggling from COVID. Families are struggling. We have folks that have pneumonia. Careful in the parking lot. We did our best to get it all cleared. This is kind of a difficult weather pattern because it started off in the mid-30s and it dropped down into the single digits last night. Everything freezes. So, God bless you all. Love you all. Appreciate you all. Greet one another. God bless you. We will see you Wednesday evening. Thank you again to our worship. Praise team, we have a baptismal. So, God bless you.